up.
Doesn't go in days. No, it's a different.
Who's the Chofetz Chaim? Are we on? Yeah, okay. So, Alumud of the Chofetz Chaim is the Schus Refor Shlema of Yosef Dopin Chayla Besoch Shofet Yisrael, Bekorah. Says the Chofetz Chaim in today's vignette, page 94 in the Sefer, day 47. He says as follows. This is actually a Hilchos Lashon Hara. We're just starting Klal Hei. Chapter 5. Zog Chofetz Chaim Azoy says, in the same way that we've been talking till now, that it's also to speak Lashon Hora about somebody who does an Avera. You saw him being Mechal Shabbos, you saw him eating in McDonald's, you saw him, yeah, whatever it is that you see him doing, he's doing some Avera Ben Odin Lamokoim, and you fancy telling somebody else about it. Then the answer is, you're not allowed to tell somebody Lashon Hara about Yenna who's Navarian, Yenna who's doing an Avera, Yenna speaks during, Yenna speaks Lashon Hara, Yenna speaks during davening, Yenna does this, that, and the other, all these things, we're not allowed to speak. What? And Bechal Shabbos Befahestia, if a person, it says, Lo Selech Rochel Be'amecho, if he's gone out of being Be'amecho, and he's no longer regarded as Amisecho, yeah, then you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara about him, and it's a mitzvah l'sanoisoi, providing that you've been on the chavschus and there's no choice whatsoever, there's no sofik whatsoever, you're 100% sure he's a mumma l'hachis, he's got, the example we gave. He has to be a mumma l'hachis. The Chofetz Chaim is very careful. He has to know about Shabbos. He can't be a tinuk shenishba. Right? He has to know about Shabbos and he has to have been told, and he said, afal piken. The example I always give is the case of that shagetz, that yid, who was sitting outside the shul in Beditchev on Yom Kippur. Yeah, he grew up in a frum family, and on Yom Kippur he's dafke eating a McDonald's there in the afternoon in front of all the kids outside shul on Yom Kippur. And even then, if Nimishros had it actually. What? Yeah, sure, there was a McDonald's. Yeah, the KFC and the McDonald's, a big place. Yeah, I bet you there's a McDonald's there today. Probably. In any event, yeah, but this guy is eating tarfus, yeah, eating chometz b'Pesach outside the shul in front of everybody. And he knows, and the Rebbe asked him 1,000 questions, and every time he said, I know what I'm doing, and I know it's osa, and I know it's Yom Kippur, and I know, etc., but I want to prove to everybody that I can eat it with impunity, nothing happened to me, no bolt of light, no shemaim, didn't have a heart attack, nothing like that. You know, if he's a mumma l'hachis, then it's a mitzvah l'sano yisoy, and then you're allowed to, what's called, then it's a mitzvah to be don l'chaf choivo, don l'chaf choivo where there's a suffix, and it's a mitzvah to shagetz him. Okay, good. So, says the Chofetz Chaim, the same way that it's been osa, and we've spoken till now, it's osa to speak.
Can it be personal?
Can it be personal? It cannot be personal. We're going to discuss that now, but that's one of the general rules anyway. Your motivation must be Lashem Shemaim. Your motivation, if you speak Lashon Hara about the Soine,
so
even the Soine.
If he changes, I have to be ready.
Yeah. The Gemara says, don't speak Lashon Hara about a Talmud Chochem who did Navera by night. Shema Osat Shuva. Or the Bavadai Osat Shuva. Yeah? So therefore, but we're talking about somebody where there's no suffix whatsoever. That's the only time when you're allowed to hate him, and he's not Bechlal Masecho, and then you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara about him, you're allowed to be Don L'chav Choivo, etc. Says the Chofetz Chaim, and we haven't got time today for our shtickle, but basically the Chofetz Chaim says, in exactly the same way that it's also to speak about somebody who's been over Benodl Mokoim, it's also to speak Lashon Hara about somebody who's over any Dinim Benodl L'chavero as well. Somebody who's got bad middos, and somebody who is over, who doesn't behave well towards his fellow man, and you observed it, and you saw it yourself, and you've got no suffix whatsoever, that what he did was wrong, alpi midas, alpi toria, alpi benon la chavere, af alpi ken, the same issa of speaking about benon la mokheim applies to benon la chavere as well, and the Chofetz Chaim gives the example of somebody who refuses a loan, and Belineda, that's what we'll discuss tomorrow.
Starts your day of Torah in Northwest London, Wednesday, base Nissan.
10th of April, Rabbi Matisio Lawrence Schlita, Pesach okay. Pinyan. This week's Thurib is sponsored by the Meshor of Yosef, the Vela of Mera Yoyer, the Yiska Refor Shlemo B'Faru, the Sos Or Chorei Yisrael, the Sos Ashevuyem, the Chayolem B'Melchomo, the Shrach Yudu B'Fehem, the Shalom B'm Heiro.
Good morning. Nice to be back after some time. I'd like to speak about the topic is Pesach Inyan, because it is a Pesach Inyan. It's a very broad topic within the halachas of Pesach. So we all know that chometz is forbidden on Pesach in many aspects, whether it's regarding eating, whether it's regarding hanor, whether it's bali roi, bali motzeh, possession, ownership of chometz. And we'll look at psukim in a minute on that point. The question is, what about something which originates from chometz, but in its current form is really not recognizable as being chometz at all, and in fact has undergone many changes, chemical changes, or has been mixed with various other substances, which actually ruin the chometz to the extent that this chometz now is now something which is bad. Now, where is this very relevant? It's very relevant in medications. It's very relevant in cosmetics. It's very relevant in items which are used for hygienic purposes, such as toothpaste, mouthwash, and all these type of things, which may contain something, and I stress that very carefully, may contain some ingredient which originates in chometz. But because of the manufacturing processes that have been done to it, this is no longer chometz in its original form. It's been mixed with chemicals. It's been changed chemically very often. Is this something which we still have to be concerned about on Pesach? Now, obviously, when we're talking about cosmetics and we're talking about hygienic items, we're not going to be talking about eating it. But we know that on Pesach, we're forbidden to have benefit from chometz as well. And even if you're not having benefit from the chometz, but you're actually owning the chometz, that's also a problem as well. So therefore, we have to understand, our pi halacha, are these things still forbidden, or is it not forbidden? And it's very relevant. It is a very relevant practical question regarding medicines, regarding cosmetics. Now, it's a very big subject, and there's no way that we can deal with the subject in a shiur of half an hour. So I wanted today, in today's shiur, to give the Olam, the Yesoidus, the understanding of where the sugya itself is coming from, and then perhaps in another shiur at another time to then maybe elaborate more on the practical details of it. But once we understand the basics of it and the Yesoidus, then it's much easier to understand. So we know that in the Torah it says, in the Pasuk says, Shivas yomim matzois teichelu ach bayim harishon tashbisu so'or mibateichem. There's a mitzvah called tashbisu. This is a mitzvah's asei, which the Torah commands us to get rid of chometz, to destroy, to get rid of chometz. Tashbisu, make sure that it's gone from your house. And that's got to be ensured that a person has done that on Erev Pesach to make sure that they don't have any chometz with in their possession throughout Pesach itself. We have another pasuk in the same parasha, Shivas Yomim, So'or lo yimotzei b'bateichem. So'or, which is leaven, something which is capable of making something else into chometz, lo yimotzei b'bateichem, mustn't be found in your houses. We have another pasuk, the next pasuk actually in the Torah, kol machmetzes lo yisoichelu, something which is machmetzes. Again, there's not time to define exactly what's the difference between chometz and machmetzes, but you can see it's the same shoresh, the same root. Lo yisoichelu, you mustn't eat it. So far we've had a mitzvah sase of tashbisu, you have to get rid of it. A mitzvah loy sase of loy motze, it mustn't be found. Loy seichelu, you mustn't eat it. Another pasuk we have, Vayom Moshe el ha'om, zocha es hayom hazeh, asher yotzosa mi mitzrayim, mi beis avodim, ki b'choyzek yod hoitzi Hashem eschem, mizeh, v'loy ye'ochel chometz. Chometz mustn't be eaten. Another pasuk, matzois ye'ochel, eis shivas hayomim, you have to eat matzos over the 7 days. This is Bal Yeroya. And the Gemara tells us, what is the difference between Bal Yeroya and Bal Yemotzeh? There's no difference, right? The Torah wants Lavoir Olav B'shtei Lavim. The Torah actually wants to say that if you're possessing, if you're owning chometz throughout Pesach, you're actually going to be Oiver to Lavim, two prohibitions in the Torah, one called Lo Yemotzeh and one called Lo Yeroya. But there's effectively no difference between the two. So these are the sources where we see that one is forbidden, and the Gemara learns that it's forbidden to have Hanor as well,
from chometz, even if you don't own it, even if it's some other one, person's chometz. And therefore, the mitzvah itself is very overreaching. It reaches into every area, achila, and shesia, and hanor, and ownership, bailus, and it's a very, very comprehensive issa. So this is the foundation of the issa of chometz. Okay, and again, we're not going to go into today defining exactly what chometz actually is. What is chometz, right? A lot of confusion, people get confused. What is chometz, right? We're not going to go into that, but b'kitzah, any of the five grains, wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt, that come into contact with water for a period of time, they undergo a chemical reaction, and that causes fermentation, and fermentation, what we call rising, and that is what we call chometz. And we have a Kabbalah that 18 minutes, at least with wheat, 18 minutes is the period of time that if the grain is, or the wheat, or the flour from that is in contact with the water for 18 minutes and you're not kneading it and you're not moving it around and you don't bake it and you leave it for that period of time, that turns into chometz. Okay? Now, where this is going to be very relevant is because many of these items I was talking about before contain either basic ingredients or alcohols which derive from chometz or could derive from chometz. I was speaking to Rabbi Adler from Gateshead the other day just to get some clarification on some chemical issues over here. And he told me that today it's very, very difficult to actually track down where the ingredients come from. The companies themselves are so huge, these manufacturing companies, that they don't even know exactly where their ingredients are coming from. They change suppliers at different times. So if you have a given product in front of you, it may well contain an ingredient from alcohol, which is a chometz-based alcohol. It may contain ingredients from a different type of alcohol, and they don't always know at any time what batch is containing what. So it's very difficult to know exactly today. So we're assuming, let's say, there would be a problem. Let's say there would be chometz contained in something, or an ingredient that is derived from chometz. Okay, now, we started off with a question. If it's got ruined in some way, it's got mixed up with other stuff, it's got ruined. What is the halacha in other areas? Not talking about Pesach. If you have a piece of meat, let's say, non-kosher meat, nevela, what is the halacha if it goes bad? If it's nisrach, if it's gone bad, it's rotted, what is the halacha? If somebody decided to eat it, not a good idea for your stomach, but if you did, what is the halacha of such a thing? Is it, have you done an avera? Have you done an issa? Is it mutter? What's the halacha? So the Gemara talks about this concept called nevela she'ena ru'uya leger. When the Torah talks about what are you meant to do with an animal that's a nevela, what are you meant to do with an animal that's a trefa, the Torah tells you can give it to a ger. You can give it to somebody, a ger means over here, not a ger who's converted, a ger meaning somebody who's a ger toshav, who's not Jewish. You're allowed to give it to him. You're allowed to have benefit. You're allowed to have benefit from it. And in fact, says the Gemara, if you have a neveda which is eina ru'uya leger, that means it's not suitable to be eaten by anybody anymore, poka isura mine, the issa has disappeared from it, and whatever issa there was on it, let's say neveda, trefa, whatever it was, it's gone away. That issa has gone away now, and it's not a dova osur anymore. And that is the normal standard. Now, that's called nifsal, in Chazal's Lashon, nifsal me achilas. No, achilas odom, right? We'll get to Kelev in a minute. That Kelev will come into it, right? Nifsal miachilas odom. It's not roi la odom. If it's not roi la odom, normally the issa has gone away. But we see a very interesting concept that comes up, which is what Yanki was saying over here. Everyone knows when it comes to Hilchas Pesach, so we talk about, yeah, a dog can't eat it. Ain't a roi achilas Kelev. So where did the Kelev come into the picture over here? Where does that exactly feature? Why is it suddenly? Now, what is, when we talk about Eina Ru'uya LeKelev, is that going to be worse? Does it have to be worse than Eina Ru'uya LeOdom, LeChidas Odom? What would you say? LeChidas Kelev, Chidas Odom. Which, who tolerates more? The Kelev tolerates more. So if food is Eina Ru'uya LeChidas Kelev, then it's worse than something which is Eina Ru'uya LeChidas Odom. It's worse, it's gone more rotten, more bad in that sense, okay? Says the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Memhe, Omid based. And it brings a brisa. It's the middle of a discussion, middle of a sugya. And it brings a brisa. Dasanya, we learned in a brisa. Hapas she'ipsha. If you have bread, that ipsha, it went bad. Bread goes bad, it goes moldy. Chayiv levaya. You're still chayiv to get rid of it before Pesach comes. Hapas she'ipsha, chayiv levaya. Levaya. Mipnei she royu l'shoichoka u'lechameo bo kama isos achirois. The reason is because you could take this bread, even in its moldy form, and crush it all up, make it into a kind of a powder, and then use it as a kind of a yeast, l'chameo bo kama isos achirois, to ferment other doughs, to turn other doughs into bread. So inside this bread, which has gone rotten, there were certain chemicals and enzymes, I'm not an expert on that, and those are still present in this bread, even if it has gone bad. So much so that if you take that and put that into another dough, that dough will now start to rise and turn into a bread. So based on that brisa, we see this concept that even though the bread has gone bad, and it's not really edible by a person anymore, as far as the halachas of Pesach are concerned, you still have to get rid of this. You're chayav to get rid of this from your house. Why? Because this thing is royu lechamea bo isos achirus. You're able to ferment. Lechamea means to ferment other isos, other doughs. That's the brisa. Now, the Gemara there, again, Pesachim daf memhei, on the base, brings another brisa, which elaborates, expounds a little bit further than what we said just now. Says the brisa there, Todu Rabbanon, hapas she'ipsha v'nifsalo milechoil la'odom. Bread that has gone moldy, and it's now no longer edible for a person, as a person, v'hakelev yochoil la'oichlo. But the dog is able to eat it, right? So where's this bread holding, as they say? The bread's holding between achilas odom and achilas kelev. It can't be eaten by a person. A person, if he saw this bread, it's probably green, it's probably hot, you're not going to eat it. But if a kelev finds such a piece of bread, machaya, right? He's got his meal for the day, no problem. Okay? Says the Brisa in Psochim Daf Memhei Omad Beis, Metam o Tumas Oichlim B'chabetza. We know that in Hilchus Tumah V'Tahara, there's something called Tumas Oichlim. Food can contract tumor. If you have an item of food, which is an edible thing, if, let's say, it touched a mace, it can become tome, tumas oichlin. So, only food gets tumas oichlin. If the food has been ruined to the extent that it's not food anymore, then even if it touched that tome thing, it wouldn't get tumas oichlin. Why? Because it's not an oichel. Tumas oichlin only applies to oichlin. Says this brisa, metamo tumas oichlin mechabetza. If this piece of bread has gone moldy, and a person can't eat it, but a dog can still eat it. This piece of bread is still matami tumas oichlin. What does that tell us about this piece of bread in terms of its status? What's the status? Is it still called food? Yes, it's still called food. So you see that the geder, how are we magdir, how do we give status to this item, is based on achilas kelev. Is it royal achilas kelev or is it not? And that's what the Brisa says. The Brisa continues a little bit more, but that's enough for our purposes at the moment.
I'm interested, this moldy bread, can this still make another dough rise?
That's what the Brisa said. The Brisa said the reason why being moldy but still edible, so a person can't eat it, but a dog can eat it, the chashivas of this thing seems to be dependent on the fact that you could crush it all up and use it as a kind of a yeast, a fermentation agent in something else. That's seemingly the reason why this is. And we'll see a little bit more in a second. Says the run on that brisa, Matama tumas oichlin. Why does the brisa, what does it mean when it says that if the dog can still eat it, it's matame tumas oichlin? Says the run, to call zman, shiroyu lekelev, loy poka toiras oichal minei. For as long as it remains edible by a dog, for a dog, Loi poka toiras oichel minei. That means the status of oichel, the food status on this thing, doesn't go away. It still remains food because a dog can still eat it. So even though a human being can't, but a dog can, it still remains, it retains its status as oichel. The Ran continues a little bit afterwards, and he asks the question, why is it that the brisa says that you need to get rid of this piece of bread if it's still in this form at this level? Amait sricha biyo asks the Ran, why do you need to get rid of it? Normally we say, what's the standard when we talk about food that was osser and it's gone bad? What's normally the standard, the level that we require in order for the issa to disappear? Nevela she'ein ru'uy leger has to be not edible for a human being. So why is the standard here different? Why are we saying only if it's now not edible by a dog, so then okay, it's not chometz anymore? Why is the standard different here from what we normally find in other isurim? That's the kasha the Ran asks. And noisin tam lifgam shori, if something is bad and it gives bad taste, it's normally mutter. Afidu b'chometz b'pesach, and in fact we find in Hilchas Chometz as well, which we're going to discuss in a second. We do find in Chometz, Hilchas Chometz, that if it's gone bad and it's not edible by a person, that is enough. So why suddenly am I obligated in this specific case over here of the bread that's gone bad? I have to get rid of it. Why? Says the Ran, Yesh loima, dehocha shani. One could say that here is different. Mipnei shiru'uya lechamea bo kama isa sachiris. That's the whole reason. Like we saw in the other brisa, because this piece of bread that's gone moldy and is no longer edible for a person, but is still edible for a dog, because this piece of bread could be used by grinding it up and using it as an agent to ferment other breads, therefore it's still considered to be chometz for these purposes. And it gives a very poshuta proof to this. The fact that the Torah, when it forbids us to have chometz, also forbids something else as well. What's the other term that the Torah uses besides chometz when it's talking about these things? Not only chometz machmetzes, one other important word. Se'or. Now se'or, what we call leaven, right? In translations always say leaven. But what does leaven actually mean? Se'or means something that you use to ferment other things, like a yeast of a kind, right? And that is something which is not edible. If you go to the shop now, go down the road, over here, buy some yeast. Try eating the yeast. Not very pleasant, right? So the yeast itself is something which is not edible. But the Torah still prohibits it on Pesach. So says the Ran, you see that the Geder over here, when you have something which is able to ferment other doughs, the whole standard is completely different. So even though in Hilchas Chometz, it's true that once it becomes inedible for a human being, that is enough, like other Isurim. Once it's inedible for human beings, it's not. But when it comes to something that's able to ferment other things, it's got that extra koyach in it, then the standard is much higher. And in order for it to be considered mutter, what do we say? It has to be nifsal mei achilas kelev. That's when we require a much greater rotting or a much greater transformation of the item into something bad in order for it to become mutter, for the din issa to go off and for it to become mutter. So bekitza, although it's true that in all isurim, as once something is not edible by a person, it's mutter, and the same is really true for Hilchas Chometz as well, but when we're dealing with an item that's capable of fermenting other doughs, then the standard is higher, and we say that it has to be nifsal mei achilas kelev. That's the yisoid that comes out from this Gemara over here. Okay, let's move on. So, we have another Gemara, a little bit later on, a little bit earlier on actually, Masechta Pesachim, on Daf, Kaf, Aleph, Omid Beis. And it says over there, the Omar Rava, Rava said, Charochoi koidem zmanoi. Imagine you take a piece of chometz before the Zman Issa. Sometime before the Zman Issa on Erev Pesach. Zman Issa Chometz on Erev Pesach. You take a piece of bread and you hold it in the fire and you singe it so much in the fire it goes black like ash and you can't eat it anymore. What's the halacha of such a substance on Pesach itself? Am I allowed to use that or not? Give an example. Soap used to be made from ashes. They would take things and turn it into ashes, burn it, and often different types of fats, and use that. Now, if I had something which was chometz, and I burned it all up, koidim lizman iso. What's the halacha? Says Rava, muta bahanoa, afidu la'achaz manoi. That means, even after the Zmanis HaChometz, even when Pesach comes, I'm allowed to benefit from this Chometz which has been singed. Now, what's the basis of such an idea, from what we've learned? Because it's now no longer edible by people, says Rashi. Well, it doesn't go into that seemingly over there.
It's not the next stage.
Well, let's see what the Ran says on that. Good point. So the Rashi on that says he singed it in fire. Shebotel tamoy umar isoy. What that causes is the tamoy, the normal taste of this food, goes away. And mar isoy. What's mar isoy? It's
appearance.
It no longer looks like chometz anymore. So you've transformed it. Says the Ran. To what degree do we need to burn it? Says the Ran. Kugoin. Shecharachoy ad she'ein hakelev yochol lo'ichloy. Says the Ran, importing what we learned in the Gemara before, that the standard that's needed over here is to burn it or to singe it to the extent that a dog can no longer eat it, because otherwise it will conflict. This Gemara of Rava would conflict with what we learned before. So in order to make everything match up, what the Gemara means, what Rava means over here, is if you singed it to the extent that a kelev won't eat it anymore. Yes?
Then if it's nifsal me'achilas kelev, could you eat it, in theory?
Yeah.
You could.
You could, yeah. Says the Ran, next words of the Ran, even though the wording that Rava said was mutaba hanor, so you might think, okay, I can have hanor, but to actually go and eat this thing on Pesach, says the Ran, ud amrina muta b'hanor. So when it says muta b'hanor, bedin hu da'afidu ba'achila nami shori. The Ran says it's also permitted ba'achila to eat it as well. Why? Hold on 1 second. Why? 1 second. Hold on. Just keep the flow of the Ran. Kivin shiyotz amitayras pas koidem shiyachol by isa chometz. Because this item has gone away from being bread. Its status of bread has gone before the Zman of Chometz comes on Erev Pesach. So the Issa cannot be Chal on this thing. We know that Issa has to be Chal on something. When an Issa comes, it has to be Chal on something. The Issa rests on something. Where does the Issa of Chometz, when it comes on Erev Pesach, what does it go on to? It doesn't go on to a piece of wood. It doesn't go on to a piece of earth. It goes on to food. If this is no longer food, the Issa of Chometz doesn't come upon this thing. So he says, so then why does it say Mutar B'Hanor? It should say Mutar B'Achila. It's a bigger chiddush. Say Mutar B'Achila. So he says, because no one's going to eat it, right? No one's going to eat this bread which has been singed in a fire. So Rava didn't feel he needed to say Mutar B'Hanor because no normal person's going to eat it, right? But the truth is, it is Mutar B'Achila if you did. That's what the Ran holds, okay? So even though it says mutar b'hanor, it's according to the Ran, it's mutar b'achila as well.
You want to make smoky flavour chicken.
Right.
Can you use that to make smoky chicken?
Mm-hmm.
Example.
You mean after you've singed it or at the time when you were singed it? Yeah, then what?
Can I use it to make smoky chicken?
Oh, so according to the Ran, no problem. According to the Ran, this thing has already poka sheim oichel mine. That means...
You can't eat it because it's not suitable to be.
You can. So you're both in very good company, okay? Why? Because David's saying like the Ran, okay? But the Rosh holds a bit like you, okay? Listen to what the Rosh says, okay? The Rosh says, this is the Rosh there in Pesachim, Perek Beis. He says, Yeshiroitzim loyma. There are those who wanted to say, Lav dafka hanor, that when Rava permits such a singed piece of bread, and he says it's mutar b'hanor, there were those who wanted to say that it's mutar b'achila as well. Who was that? The Ran. He doesn't refer to the Ran by name. He just says there were those who wanted to say that it's mutar b'achila as well. Hu adin nami b'achila. Why? Da afra ba'almahu. Because it's basically turned into dust. Is dust chometz? A lot of ladies think the dust is chometz, right? But it's not, right? The dust is not chometz, okay? So, it's mutter, says the Ran. And the Rosh is quoting that opinion. Says the Rosh, arguing with the Ran, V'loim mistaba. Doesn't make sense, yeah? Like you said, doesn't make sense, yeah? Da'afa be the botler da'as ha'oichel eitzel kol odom. Even though some person who chooses to eat this item, botler da'itoi eitzel kol odom, he's like doing something against what normal people do. Mikol mokim, nevertheless, kiven de ihu ka'achil le, also, since he chose to eat it, it's therefore also. What does that mean? So everyone, no one else would eat it, yeah? And he accepts that the status of food has disappeared from this thing. So how is the din chometz on here? He says, kiven de ihu ka'achil le, since he is eating it, he's choosing to eat it, therefore it's also. So what does that mean? Basically, he's elevated it. The person himself somehow has the ability. Now, the poskim point out, this is not midoraisa. This is midorabonon. Midoraisa, yes, 100%. The Ran is correct. The Rosh's opinion is something called achshavei. Right? You may have heard of this term before. Achshavei. What does the word achshavei mean? It means he has made it important. He's made it important. And this is a concept that we find. We're going to maybe talk about it in another shiur, because I can see that we don't have time. But the concept of achshavei comes actually in Hilchos Shavuos, right? Shavuos, right? Making a shavua. And sometimes a person makes a shavua, an oath, to forbid himself from having food. So what about something like this? If you made an oath to forbid yourself having food, and dealing with something which is rotted, something that's gone bad, are you allowed to eat that thing or not? So we have a concept there, the Gemara in Shavuos, called achshavei. If you choose to eat it, you have elevated it to the status of a food. We will consider that as a food. So this is a machlokes between the Ran and the Rosh. Do we go with this concept called achshavei when it comes to chometz, or do we not? The Ran says no, because he doesn't talk about it. And the Rosh says that we do. Now, the halacha, as paskened in Shulchan Aruch, is that we go with the opinion of the Rosh over here. And we do take on board this idea of achshavei when it comes to Hilchas Pesach. So therefore, if you have something which was chometz, but it's been ruined to an extent that you have burned it or singed it or something else to it, and it's no longer edible anymore, but you choose to eat it, that elevates it to the status of chometz, and therefore is forbidden. The big question is, which is what we're going to have to deal with separately, is what about other forms of giving importance to this chometz item that has been ruined? So for example, medicines. In a medicine that contains chometz, is taking a medicine considered to be achshavei? Is that called elevating it? If this item is inside toothpaste, mouthwash, or any of these types of cosmetics, perfumes, any of these types of things, is that called achshavei, or is it not? Okay? So what we're going to do is, we're going to deal with that in another shiur. There's no point rushing through it in 20 seconds, right? So we'll deal with that in Mitzvah Shem in another shiur. We'll have to find another time for that. But that's the basis of how this whole sugya works. And the next point that we'll have to see is a very interesting tshuva from the Trumas HaDeshen. The Trumas HaDeshen, one of the later Rishonim, talks about a very interesting case about somebody who has a pen, or he has with ink, and the ink contains so'irim, it contains barley, which is a chometz, potentially a chometz source, and it's no longer edible because the ink is mixed in with all kinds of other stuff that they would put in the ingredients of ink. Is he allowed to write with this pen on Pesach or not? Obviously not on Yom Tov, but on Chol HaMoed, where there's a heter to write on Chol HaMoed, that itself is not so straightforward, would he be allowed to use such a pen, for, let's say, for example, for Dovah Ovud, or writing down the Shir, or whatever it is, he's allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. Would he be allowed to use a pen that contains ink that contains a chometz item? That's the source that the next point we'll have to see, which is the Trumas HaDeshen.
It's not edible anymore.
But, is there a concept of achshavei in the fact that you are now elevating it for use and now using it as a pen? So does achshavei apply even not when you're elevating it to achila purposes, but for other beneficial purposes as well? If someone else is achshavei. Oh, good question.
Not achshavei. Somebody does achshavei, the owner, to get rid of it.
Possibly. If he would be machshavit, yeah.
Not him.
Someone else. Okay, we'll see. We'll try and see. It's an interesting tshuva to see. We'll see that in Mitzvah Hashem next time. Also, interesting question as well. Yeah.
How do we know how far a dog will eat? Perhaps a dog will eat absolutely everything. How do we know?
Yeah, it seems to be that they knew, because dogs were much more. Dogs were like around all the time, right? There were wild dogs. You find in many areas of halacha, dogs were around all the place. So they kind of knew. They knew what dogs would eat. It's like
they practiced singeing the bread during the year to see how far they would go. To see.
Yeah, or sometimes you burn the toast or whatever. You put it outside. Whatever.
But that's not necessarily completely.
Okay, you're right. But it seems to be that they knew. There's never much of a discussion about that. How nifsal are the machines together.
But think of a dog in a concentration camp. In other words, it's a dog who's desperate to eat. Yeah, not that he's sort of got lots of other choices.
Yeah, okay.
So, he might eat something that normally even he wouldn't eat.
Right, yeah. Sure.